Welcome to Enclave on Air. I'm your host today, Jessica Hergert. Enclave on Air is a podcast from Enclave, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Enclave covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, sponsored by AstraZeneca, we had the pleasure of speaking with Sarah A. Hurvitz, an associate professor in the David Geffen School of Medicine at the University of California, Los Angeles, a medical oncologist and medical director of the Johnson Comprehensive Cancer Center Clinical Research Unit, co-director of the Santa Monica UCLA Outpatient Oncology Practices, and director of the Breast Cancer Clinical Trials Program at UCLA, to discuss key updates in HER2-positive breast cancer from 2021, underscoring those with antibody-drug conjugates like trastuzumab deruxtecan and trastuzumab duocarmazine. In our exclusive interview, Hurvitz shed light on shifts in practice patterns in HER2-positive breast cancer in light of data that emerged in 2021, remaining questions regarding treatment sequencing, the importance of updates to the National Comprehensive Cancer Network guidelines in metastatic HER2-positive breast cancer, and future directions to keep an eye on in 2022. Looking at the HER2-positive breast cancer paradigm, what advances stand out to you when you reflect on those made in 2021?
The biggest data, I think, that came out in 2021 relating to HER2-positive breast cancer was DESTINY-Breast03, the interim analysis presented at ESMO showing a significant improved progression-free survival with T-DXd. Compared to T-DM1, were almost immediately practice changing. We also did see results from the TULIP trial at ESMO 2021 looking at SID985. This is trastuzumab duocarmazine, and the TULIP study was a phase 3 clinical trial comparing SID985 to treatment of physician's choice. The primary endpoint for this drug was met with an improvement in median progression-free survival. However, the toxicity profile, namely relating to ocular toxicities, is something that I think needs to be explored a bit further. This drug is not yet FDA approved, so I wouldn't say that these data are practice-changing yet. And I think we're going to need to see more information about management of ocular toxicities and just how serious they are before clinically seeing this drug come to fruition. So we are seeing more data about antibody drug conjugates. We're also seeing new phase 1 data coming out about other antibody drug conjugates for HER2-positive breast cancer. So I think it's been an exciting year, but clearly there's a lot more data forthcoming in the next year or two.
What clinical trials will be important to keep an eye on in 2022?
I'm not sure as to the timing of when HER2-positive trials are going to read out, but there are a number of ongoing studies in the curative setting, looking at the use of, for example, tucatinib in the curative setting, T-DXd, looking at T-DXd in the frontline setting of metastatic breast cancer, seeing more data regarding CNS metastases and the use of antibody drug conjugates there. So I think a lot of these trials are going to be interesting to follow. And certainly it's going to be interesting to see how T-DXd fares in the HER2 low population. Those results may be available in the next year or two.
What questions regarding treatment sequencing were answered in 2021? And where will focuses shift in 2022?
In 2021, I believe we saw data come out from DESTINY-Breast03 that indicate T-DXd should be the standard second-line therapy after taxane and trastuzumab. So that has pretty definitively moved T-DM1 to later-line setting. What we don't know is how does T-DM1 work or how well does it work after T-DXd. We also are waiting to see results from trials that will look at combinations of tucatinib with ADCs, tucatinib with T-DXd, tucatinib with T-DM1. And so understanding how these sorts of combinations work will potentially change the sequencing in the coming years, depending on what those results are.
Talking about the updated NCCN guidelines, how have they influenced your practice in metastatic disease?
The NCCN guidelines are important in guiding clinicians regarding best available evidence to support our treatment decision. So it's very helpful to have guidelines that are based upon level one evidence and also provide guidance on how to apply level two evidence, for example. I think that the NCCN is set up to pivot more quickly than perhaps the regulatory agencies are when new data emerges. So it's not uncommon for us to see the NCCN or even ESMO or ASCO guidelines to quickly change in response to major data that comes out at a conference within weeks, whereas it may take the regulatory agencies months to react to that data and assess the data. So it may make a therapy available to our patients earlier than it would be if we had to wait for regulatory approval.
Now, when it comes to recommending treatment for patients, what other factors go into that decision in the metastatic setting?
Well, certainly not only clinical trial data and FDA approval status and NCCN guidelines are important in making treatment recommendations, but the patient's own take on the situation, their own life goals, their own symptoms and comorbidities, all of these things weigh in as we make treatment recommendations and decisions with our patients. So a patient who's got a number of comorbidities and concomitant medications, that treatment recommendation for that given patient may be quite different from a patient who is only contending with advanced breast cancer. So I think we have to look at the whole person and not just what the data states from a clinical trial.
How do you find a role for some of the newer HER2-directed therapies in this space?
We do currently have, at my last count, I believe 8 HER2-targeted therapies available for metastatic HER2-positive breast cancer. We are fairly certain that we should use taxane, trastuzumab, and pertuzumab in the frontline setting. And now we're fairly certain that T-DXd is the right agent in the second line setting. But after that, we don't have much in the way of clinical trial data to tell us how to best sequence all the other agents available to us in the third line setting and beyond. I think it's important for us to look at patients' disease characteristics, location of disease, presence or absence of brain metastases, comorbidities, toxicity profiles when making a decision or recommendation regarding how to sequence, because we don't have clinical trials that say sequencing A followed by B followed by C is better than C followed by B followed by A. We do have great evidence supporting the use of tucatinib-based therapy for those with brain metastases in the second line setting and beyond is where that is FDA approved. And we have really good evidence supporting T-DXd in the third line setting and beyond for patients who haven't yet received it. But we are awaiting clinical trials to help gauge the relative benefits of one of these agents versus the other. So I think it's going to be interesting to see whether novel combinations of these therapies are going to be supported by ongoing trials or whether we'll have more information regarding how to properly sequence them.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of Enclave on Air, sponsored by AstraZeneca. Check back on Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.enclave.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. Enclave is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at Enclave and at Enclave SOSS. On Facebook, like us at Enclave and Enclave State of the Science Summit, and follow our Enclave page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of Enclave on Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to Enclave on Air.